before we turn to the Word of God. It's my practice at the beginning of the year, the first Lord's Day, Sabbath day of the new year, to give a word of exhortation, and it was to the young people and children this morning. Well, tonight it's for the rest of the congregation. We're not excluding the young people or children now, but it's for the rest of the congregation. As we look to this new year, may we know much of what we read of in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. The Apostle Paul seeking to bless the Lord, and as he does so, he speaks of the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. May we know much of his mercy, not only as individuals, but collectively. May we know much of the mercy of the Lord, his tender mercy, day by day, week by week, as we gather. We need his mercy. What mercy it is. And we read also, he is the God of all comfort. Comfort we need in every situation. May we know much comfort as the people of God. And may you know much comfort in your own homes and in your own lives. And remember, he's the God of all comfort. We can turn to him. Oh, may we know much comfort. Comfort we need. Comfort we will receive. The Father of mercies. What a blessing to begin the year, thinking that he is the Father of mercies. What a blessing we can address him as our Heavenly Father. Then also to know he is the God of all comfort. May we be comforted much in view of Jesus as we meet him on the table, as we gather together. May we be comforted much through the word, comforted in view of him. And may the Lord bless you. Be assured of my love and prayers for you as individuals and as a congregation here. Well, tonight I'd like us to continue our series, Gracious Words from the Lips of Jesus. So with this in mind, come with me to John 10 and verse 9. John 10 and verse 9. John 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Dear congregation, we read in Luke chapter 4 that the people at Nazareth who had gathered in the synagogue wondered at the gracious words which the Lord had uttered. He had opened the scriptures, and he read those words from Isaiah 61. And there we read of the one who heals the broken in heart. What words were they at Nazareth were taken with the gracious words which the Lord had uttered, but they weren't moved with them. They soon wanted him gone. They did not want the Lord in their presence. What about you? Have you truly been taken with the gracious words of the Lord Jesus Christ? One can be moved, but their hearts are not affected. Has your heart been affected by the Saviour? We read earlier, my son, give me thine heart. What a blessing through the grace of God that our hearts have been given to him. Has your heart been given to him? Has your heart been moved? Do you know something of the motion within your heart? Of love towards him? And are you following him within your heart? We think of the sheep here in this chapter. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Verse 27, are you following him? Can you say with the psalmist, my soul followeth hard after thee? What a blessing if we can say that. What a blessing to know the Saviour, and to know these gracious words in our hearts. And as we come to verse 9 tonight, we have such gracious words. Robert Murray McShane, speaking of these words, thought them to be some of the most sweetest words in Scripture. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. What words? If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Our Lord was seeking to rebuke the Pharisees, and he was addressing them. And as he did so, in this chapter, he spoke a parable. And we have it here in the opening part of the chapter. Verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they knew his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. He speaks this parable to rebuke and to warn. There were those who were thieves and robbers. There were the Pharisees. Oh, we need to be warned of these things. There are those who will seek to lead certain ones astray. Now, having spoke the parable, as we note in verse 6, there were those that understood not what was spoken. And then our Lord in verse 7 begins to open up things further. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. He makes it plain. He is the only way. He is the way into the sheepfold, the church, the family of God. And those who enter in find such pasture. What gracious words we have here before us tonight. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Well, let's briefly tonight consider these things for the remainder of the time. First of all, the door. Jesus says, I am the door. He makes it abundantly plain. He is the door. He is the door into the sheepfold, into the family, into the true church. I am the door, no one else but him. I am the door. The only way in is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think of the church here upon earth, we can consider the visible church, that which we see. And one can come into a gathering, but they don't know the Lord. One can be in the midst of the people of God, but they don't know the Lord. They're not truly in the church of Jesus Christ, that which is invisible, that which is savingly united to Christ. Yes, they've come in amongst the people of God, but they've not gone to Jesus. They've not entered in through him by faith. And it's a sad reality, isn't it? That there are those who've made a profession. They may have joined membership of a local congregation, yet they don't know the Lord. They may outwardly say words in a prayer, but their heart is not moved. You think of those in the synagogue at Nazareth. They wondered at the gracious words, but they soon wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to be gone. They wondered, but their hearts were not affected. And there can be those who gather with the people of God, but they're not saved. They may pray, but they're not saved. They don't know the Saviour. There's only one way to learn true fellowship. There's only one access to the Father, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, people can be in the midst of the people of God, They can pray outwardly, make a profession, but not know the Lord. What about you? Have you gone to the door? Have you gone to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you entered in? Are you truly in the family? Are you truly in the church, which is savingly united to Christ? Not all in the church visible, that which we see, love the Lord. There are the wheat and the tares. You think of the tares. They're the look-alike wheat. What a blessing if we have gone to the door, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we read here, I am the door. We've already considered, there's no question. He is the door. But consider further, the great God, God the Son, is the door. I am the door, the self-existent, the eternal one. Remember those words in the Old Testament? I am that, I am. Just consider that. He is there. And he is here. I am that I am. He needs no one else to exist. I am that I am. How we need God. We live and move and have our being in him. And when we consider a spiritual life, it's because of him. He is the vine, we are the branches. But when we consider him, he needs no one else. I am the door. Oh, consider it. God the Son. The mighty God, I am the door. We think of a door. A door lets people in, but it also keeps people out. Let's think that the door keeps people out, first of all. The other day, along with my wife, we went to this big house in Cathedral Close, and we went to the door, and it was locked. And we were kept out. A door keeps certain ones out. Now we consider these words, I am the door, by me if any man enter in. But remember this, the door keeps certain ones out, pretenders. We see that in this chapter, do we not? There are the thieves and the robbers, the hypocrites. They make a profession, but they don't know the Lord. They've never gone to him truly by way of faith. And they're outside. The door keeps certain ones out. But frankly, the door is there. And those who believe enter in. He is the door. The only door. Salvation is only in and through him. I am the door. Now, before we move on, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let this be an aid to assurance. Jesus is the door, and you were led to the right door. Sometimes a believer can struggle. Doubts can arise in the heart. I came to faith when I was fairly young, but in my teenage years, when I was a young man, many doubts came. There were those in the school who used to tease me and mock me and say, you're only a Christian because your parents took you to church. And the devil used what they said. And doubts arise. Doubts can arise in the heart. One can struggle. But let this be a comfort. Jesus is the door. And you went to the right door. I am the door. Are we not thankful we heard the gospel? And through the grace of God, we were drawn to Jesus. And through the power of God who gave us faith, we entered in. I am the door. Turn a deaf ear to the whispers of the devil. Say no to those doubts in your heart. And say, Jesus is the door. And I went to the right door. What a blessing. We went to the only door. The right door. And what blessings we know, as we will consider in a moment, in the family, in the church of Jesus Christ, the shepherding of Christ and the pastor we know, the pastor, the good pasture we know. I am the door. Take comfort. Jesus is the door. Secondly, the invitation. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. If any man enter in, no wonder Robert Murray McShane thought these to be some of the most sweetest words of invitation. If any man, and I won't take away from that or add to it, it says what it reads, if any man enter in, whosoever, remember those words in John chapter 3 and verse 36, John chapter 3 and verse 36, verse 16 first of all, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What love! God so loved this world. He gave his only begotten Son. Are we not thankful for the gift, the unspeakable gift? Do you look upon the Lord Jesus Christ as the unspeakable gift tonight? He is, or are you spiritually blind? Are you like those at the synagogue in Nazareth? Though you may wonder at such words in Scripture, your heart is not moved. Is he the unspeakable gift? He is. Well, the unspeakable gift was given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. It doesn't say my name, and I'm thankful. I don't suggest you do this, but there's many Aaron Lewises in this world. If you go on Google, people living in different countries are called Aaron Lewis. If it had my name here, how would I know it meant me? But because we read here, whosoever, I know it meant me. And what do we read here in John 10, verse 9? If any man enter in. Here is the gospel presented. What is the warrant of faith? Well, here it is. If any man enter in, it's the free offer of the gospel. Have you entered in? You may be an unbeliever here tonight. And you may question, well, what about me? Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. If any man, whatever you have done, if you turn to Christ, you will know salvation. I am the door. If any man enter in. Let me ask you then, have you entered in? Have you gone to Jesus? Have you believed? We're considering the moment this entering in is believing. Have you gone to him? Have you entered in? Whosoever believeth, says Jesus. So have you believed in him? In Proverbs we read, unto you I call, O sons of men. He's calling out to men there. He who is the wisdom of God. He calls out to you, come unto me, you're burdened with sin. Your sin is charged to you, come unto me, if any man. What words to comfort the believer. If doubts arise, there was the invitation. The invitation was to me. I am a believer. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, by me. Me, says the Lord. Oh, we must go to him alone. Not to something we have done in Christ, but to him alone. There was a certain gentleman here years ago. He was a very kind man. And he used to attend with his wife, who has passed away. He was so kind. He spake kindly. He would put some true believers to shame. He was a generous man. He was a thoughtful man. But he didn't know the Lord because he was trusting in his own works as well. What do we read here? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. It's only through Jesus. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Have you denied yourself, denied any righteousness you thought you had? Have you gone empty-handed to Jesus? I am the door, by me if any man, by me, Christ alone. What a wonderful invitation. Let's consider thirdly, faith and salvation. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now we have this expression here, entering in. What does it mean? Well, it means believing, faith. Because we read here, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Remember those words that were said to the man in Acts 16? The Philippian jailer. He came in, did he not, before Paul and Silas, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And what was the answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So if we go back to these words here plainly, entering in is a description of faith. Eating and drinking is a description of faith. Entering in is a description of faith. Going, coming to the Lord is a description of faith, as we see in John 6. Have you believed then? Have you entered in by faith? Jesus is the door. He's the way, the only way. There's no other way but him. Have you believed in him? Have you faith in him? Have you looked unto him? Remember in the wilderness, the people were bitten by the fiery serpents. Moses was told to make a brazen serpent and put it upon a pole, and they that looked lived. Have you looked unto Jesus? As we see in John chapter 3, if you have, you have life. Now there were those who were near the brazen serpent, and they could see much detail. But there were others who were at the back of the camp, and they couldn't see so much. But if they looked, they would live. And you may say, well, I don't understand much about the word of God. I haven't got a great understanding of justification or what the Lord did at the cross, but I've looked. Well, you're saved. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in who believes, he shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. When one is given faith, salvation has begun. Now we consider it's the Lord Jesus Christ, it's what he has done. Yet when one believes, there is salvation. Faith is a gift. What a precious gift. For through faith, we behold the unspeakable gift. The Lord Jesus Christ, we received him. We received him. Turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, that's the description of faith. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believing is receiving. Or through the gift of faith, we receive Christ, the unspeakable gift. What a gift I have. Oh, I'm so thankful for the grace of God that he gave me faith. Faith is like the hand. When one is given faith, salvation. There is salvation. Salvation began. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I'm saved from the bondage of sin. The Son sets one free, as we see in John 8, as the Son sets you free. What a blessing to be free, to know freedom, not to live as we please, but freedom from the bondage of sin. What bondage it is. People outwardly can, yes, do things which seemingly seem right, but one in bondage doesn't put the Lord first. What bondage it is to live for sin. Sin's having such a grip on one. There comes deliverance, salvation. One is delivered from the bondage of sin. What a blessing. We have a new master. What a different master we have now. One that does us good. Did sin Do you good? No. We mourn over indwelling sin, but think when one was in the bondage of sin. Did sin do you good? No. What a master we have now, by way of contrast. There's further deliverance from the tyranny of Satan. What a blessing that is. One knows deliverance, then one is justified. We break that up simply. One is pardoned all their sins and accepted it righteous because of the righteousness of Christ imputed. Particularly we consider his precious blood. He suffered. He faithfully suffered. He shed his blood that there would be the pardon of sin. What a blessing to know all one's sins forgiven. God is a judge, forgiving all one's sins. We need to go to him as a heavenly Father now, as his children, for we grieve him. But what a blessing to know all our sins forgiven by God as a judge, judicial forgiveness. What a blessing to know the forgiveness of sins. Do you know it? And to be accepted because of the righteousness of Christ. Be able to draw near to God. Oh, what a blessing to be saved, to be in the family, to be kept. We read of it, do we not? This keeping in John 17, our Lord made prayer to the Father, keep them, and we're being kept. And then consider the deliverance. We will know at death we will be delivered from sin totally. We battle with indwelling sin. What a deliverance is coming at death. What a blessing at death to say goodbye to sin for good and to welcome Jesus and heaven. What a blessing. And then on that great day, the final part of redemption applied, the redemption of the body, as we see in Romans 8 verse 23. We're saved and we look forward to further things of being saved. Concluding in that great day when there will be the redemption of the body. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Dear child of God, you're saved. And you have the prospect of further aspects of redemption being applied through the Holy Spirit. Salvation and faith. Let's draw to a close now. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And we close fourthly with this. Good pasture is found. Good pasture is found. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now we need to be careful if we come to these words. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. We think of that first of all. Christ is the door. And one who believes is saved. And then we're taught something different now in the second half of the verse. Shall go in and out. Now when one is saved, the Lord will keep them. The Lord isn't saying that one goes outside the door, as it were, and they're not saved. No, don't entertain that wrong thought. It's a different lesson now. The lesson we have here, the Lord sets forth in the parable. Just notice verse 3, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now we're thinking Christ as a shepherd, leading his people out, leading them out, that they might find good pasture. So it's a different lesson we're learning now. Christ is the door, and those who enter in, they're saved, and they'll be kept. And are we not thankful? The true child of God will never fall from grace. Why? Because of the precious blood of Jesus. But here's a new lesson now. Christ is a shepherd, leads them out, and they find pasture, and then brings them back near. And then with this we close. So go in and out and find pasture. What a faithful shepherd we have found in the Lord Jesus Christ. A good shepherd. We read of it here, do we not? In these words, verse 11, I am the good shepherd and giveth and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and he is, isn't he? He's altogether lovely. I've begun this year and I've been disappointed in myself again, but not in Jesus. He's altogether lovely, so kind, so gracious, so holy, so pure. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We think that he went all the way to the cross. What a shepherd who laid down his life for us, who shed his precious blood. He rose again, and he's shepherding us. And at the beginning of this year, what a blessing to know one who is shepherding us. There is danger, but the shepherd watches over and protects. He leads the flock out. There's danger, but he's watching. He has such a shepherd's heart. He has such a care. Dear child of God, you went to the right door. You're saved. You're looking forward to deliverance at death and the redemption of the body on that great day. You have a shepherd who will watch over you in life, who so cares for you. Are you not thankful for that? Is the shepherd watching over you in such a special way? What a comfort to know at the beginning of the year. Leading you out. He leads us in paths of righteousness, for his own name's sake. He leads us, he guides us. And as we see here in closing, he leads us to the green pastures. The good pasture is fountain. What do we read here? And shall go in and out and find pasture. He saved us, and he blesses us in life. We find good pasture, and how we need it. What a wilderness this world is. The shepherd knows that. And that's why he leads you to the green pasture, which is so good. Turn with me to Psalm 23. Those familiar words we've just sung a few moments ago. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He causes us to lie down, having led us to green pastures. There's rest, there's comfort, and there's feeding for the soul. And are we not thankful for those times where we have known those things? We can think each day when we turn to the Word, we can know rest at times, and comfort, and food for the soul. But then, particularly as we gather together, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. There's the people of God. They know, but they desire to be told. They love the house of God, the gatherings of the saints, because there the Lord feeds through his word, a green pasture. And there's rest. And have we not known rest? Yes, when we come to the word at times each day, but particularly as we come together in the presence of the Lord. We've known rest, and we need rest, don't we? It's hard out there. Young people, it's hard out there. But you have a shepherd who leads you to a good pasture. And there's rest and there's comfort. We need comfort, don't we? There's danger. We need the comfort that is afforded in a good pasture. The comfort of his presence, the comfort of his word, his presence made known to us and his word applied to us. Think of those words, peace I leave with you. What a comfort that is when those words are applied. It's a good pasture to us, isn't it? He leads us and we find pasture, the green pastures. There's food for the soul. We desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He feeds us. And what a blessing to be fed by the shepherd in a good pasture. In closing, note those words in Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I've learned so much recently. Left to myself, I won't lie down in the green pastures. And left to yourself, you won't lie down in a green pasture. You may come to a green pasture, you may come to your quiet times, but left to yourself, you won't lie down. You may come to the gatherings of the saints, but left to yourself, you won't lie down. There's so much that can distract us. There's been times when I've just got out of bed because I can't sleep. I'm thankful when the Lord gives me sleep. Left to ourselves, we don't lie down in the green pasture, but he's such a shepherd. He makes us to lie down. He causes us to rest. He knows we need rest. He causes us to rest. He knows we need comfort. And he, as the God of all comfort, assures that we know this comfort. And he feeds our soul. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What a shepherd. He knows our every need. He's called us in the gospel. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And through the grace of God, we went in. And he knows our needs as believers. And so he shepherds us. He leads us out to the green pasture. And he causes us to lie down. And the blessings you know, and the blessings you have received, is because that he, through his Spirit, has made you lie down in the green pastures. And you know there's a time when we don't want to get up, do we, as it were. But we have to face trials in this world. We have to go to work. But he's so kind, he brings us again to a green pasture. What a shepherd he is. He leads us. We thought he is the counselor this morning, how he leads us through the wilderness. He makes a way through the wilderness. And on the way, he brings us to green pastures and he causes us to lie down. He is the good shepherd. He's so good, isn't he? He never leaves or forsakes. He so cares. We think of the hireling in John 10, just in it for gain. What a contrast is Christ. He cares. He stays. He looks out to you. He leads you to the green pastures. And when you come to the valleys, he's there with you. And he'll be with you in the last valley. What a shepherd he is. He's the good shepherd. And he is the door. Dear child of God, you went to the only. You went to the right door. What a saviour you found. And what a shepherd who cares for you. And they continue to care for you in this new year. Perhaps there's someone here not believing. You don't see that Jesus is the good shepherd. There's a blindness over your eyes and in your heart. Oh, listen to the Lord Jesus. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. You've lived a life not believing in him. Jesus says, enter in. He's the door. Let me ask you in closing. If Jesus is the door, have you entered? Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, what we have found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are so thankful that it's given us that gift of faith that we entered in. What a Saviour we have found. We can say with that one of all, I have found him. Oh, how blessed those early disciples were. And how blessed we are. And what a shepherd he is. And we thank thee, he leads us to good pasture. And not only does he lead us, but he does what is so necessary. He makes us lie down. Lord, we can't lie down of ourselves. We're too restless at times. There's too much in our minds. Blessed Lord, make us lie down in the green pastures, that we would know rest, comfort, food for our soul. Oh, what a caring shepherd thou art. For any without Christ, may he hear the Saviour's voice, the call, if any man enter in. Lord, we who love thee, we are so thankful, said that. Not holy people. Not people who are whole, because there isn't any. But sinners. Any man. And we thank thee. And what we have discovered when we went through the door, how blessed we are. Oh, we pray that many this year in this locality and in this nation would hear the Saviour's voice, not only outwardly but inwardly and through the work of the Holy Spirit, that there will be much entering in this coming year. And for any who come here or listen online who are not believing, that there will be an entering in. Oh, hear us, blessed Lord. Lead us to green pastures this year, in this wilderness of this world. Hear us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. We turn to our final praise, the 89th Psalm. The 89th Psalm, and we're going to sing from verse 15 to 19, the tune is Winchester. Oh, greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know, the joyful sound that know, in brightness of thy face, O Lord, they ever on shall go. Psalm 89, verses 15 to verse 19, and the tune is Winchester. Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.